Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We approach 4 o'clock on this very busy Thursday in New York sports. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Something was said 2 days ago that was alarming. Like, it jumped out at me, and not just me, many others. You'll hear from Adam Schefter in a few minutes about this as well. And that was the tone of a Joe Burrow press conference. Joe Burrow had a press conference in which he sounded, and I'm going to play all these clips so you guys can formulate your own opinions as well. But either Joe Burrow wants to retire.
Yeah, or which is not the case because he's way too young.
Or he wants to leave the Cincinnati Bengals. You can take your pick. So the first clip I want to play, the question was, how has this season changed the way you view the game? And listen to Joe Burrow's hesitant and eventual response.
No, it certainly doesn't change my desire to win. If I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
I have more. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear more?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. That's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table, meaning I'm trying to have fun, but I'm not having fun. Therefore, what am I doing this for?
Those are
his words, just rearrange.
Yeah,
a little
if
bit.
Was used too, if I want to continue doing this.
Yes.
He was then asked point blank, are you having fun? This is a minute long clip, by the way.
Here we go. Having right now, it's difficult to have fun given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it. Is it tough?
Yes, certainly.
Did you have fun playing before how much of it was fun before? Winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
I'm not sure there was a singular moment or of time. It's just reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
He was then asked, It sounds like something's on your mind, Joe.
If you see, like, there's something on your mind, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seemed frustrating.
There's just a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things going on right now.
Football related, personally?
All of the above.
What do you make of that? There's a lot there, but he sounded down. He sounded almost done with football in a lot of ways.
I think his head coach is under fire because of underperformance. Obviously, that's underperformance because of him not being available. And the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they've worked themselves back into the conversation a little bit, I think it's also because he's missed 9 weeks this season.
Yep.
He missed 7 weeks 2 seasons ago. And then his rookie season, he tore his ACL. And so he's had some major injuries and significant time he's missed. So physically, it starts to take a toll on you. And then does he want to keep playing this game if he's not going to be the ultimate winner? Let's not forget his journey in college before he went to LSU, and he he bounced around a couple places. He goes to LSU. It was really kind of just a boring offense. And then they got amazing with Joe Brady being their offensive coordinator and won a national championship. He wins the Heisman Trophy. And it might have been one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football season by a quarterback in NCAA football history. It was fun, clearly. They haven't won it ultimately in Cincinnati yet. These guys want to win. And it's been a lot of years since Joe Burrow, despite going to one Super Bowl, has won.
It's been downhill since.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely. And then the injuries start to add up. The team stinks. It doesn't feel like there's a really bright future. You're in Cincinnati. So he's just not having fun.
So does he want out?
I get it.
Does he want out?
It sounds like he needs a break.
Hmm.
It sounds like he needs like to stop talking about it and look back and understand what his position is.
Here's what's going on, at least from my perspective. There are these two people, and you've been eyeing this girl for a very long time, and she's about to dump her boyfriend. Like, you can just hear it. And I'm here in the corner like, I gotta ask her out. But I can't ask her out yet because
she still has a boyfriend.
She's still with the boyfriend. But clearly, they're about to break up. Joe Burrow is maybe the hottest thing we've seen as Jet fans, and he is about to dump her incredibly doofy, ugly boyfriend. And while we're doofy and ugly ourselves, we think we have a shot. Mm. That's exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Well, he signed his deal back in 2000. What year was that?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's not about him being a free agent. It's about him going to the front office.
No, it's not even. It does matter, though. Because
why?
Because it's not heavy. Like, when you look at Dak Prescott's deal, it's like $68 million in dead money or $70-something million in dead money. His is like 40-something. It's not crazy. I mean, each year it is. And so there's outs for the Cincinnati Bengals.
If they want to accept being dumped.
Yes.
Like, unfortunately, in the real world, once she dumps you, it's over. You can't George Costanza it and say, I'm not accepting that you fired me or that I dumped you. So they would have to agree to it, but this is your very first crack in the armor. We are seeing it in front of all of our eyes. And if you don't believe me, here's Adam Schefter talking about what he's heard about what Joe Burrow had to say the other day.
I can tell you this. Other teams in the league took notice of that. I can tell you that for a fact.
Damn
I
right.
know that because I was texting with some of them.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. You should jump in and tell us all who the text was
from. To be specific, $56 million in dead cap.
Right.
This is next year. So that's not steep. That's doable.
Yeah. So do you think, based on the words of that minute and a half we heard from Joe, is this someone who's on the outs? Am I being too Jet fanny and thinking about him coming to my team?
I don't think he's on the outs. I think he's just, it sucks to lose. And it sucks not to be, even though he's been good since he's come back, but it sucks not to be in the conversation. And I think he got to the hill, top of the hill, and then lost in the Super Bowl. And now he doesn't see the path back.
Now, I know
he's probably right about that, by the way.
Totally. And Sean, do you want to be the jerk who follows up and says, hey, Evan, you're a Jet fan. Why would he go there? You can do that. Go ahead.
Evan, if he sounds that depressed as a Cincinnati Bengal, do you think his mood's going to change being a Jet? Why would he want to do that?
I'll tell you why, Sean. And I'm so glad you asked that question. Because the Jets can give him something the Bengals haven't, which is an offensive line that actually protects his ass. That's true. Number one.
True.
And number two, and this is the truth in life, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. And sometimes change is good, even if, yes, it's an organization that has this horrible history. It's still a head coach that could excite him. It's still Garrett Wilson and skill position players that could excite him. And here's the other thing. Joe Burrow loves attention.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell he wants to smoke that cigar like a superstar that he is. There is no bigger stage and no better place than New York City. So I get it. The Jets are not in the greatest place in the world. But as Adam Schefter said, other GMs and team presidents and owners, they heard that press conference.
Yeah, they heard
it. If I'm the Jets, I'm all over it.
They heard it. I wonder, you can't really call about him right now because there's no avenue for him. You can't trade for him, right?
Yeah, but you can discuss it for the offseason.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Praying, yeah.
Right, for the offseason.
You can absolutely call.
But that's just, I mean, that's just so long away. But I can see why people would get ahead of this. Joe Burrow. He's one of the, when he's healthy, that's a caveat. When he's healthy, one of the best quarterbacks in football.
So how far would you go if you're me and the New York Jets? Yeah. Would you offer him all the booty of picks?
No, I would just, you need to find out what the hell is actually going on.
Because
He almost, because we're talking about, he wants out of Cincinnati. He almost sounds like he wants to just retire.
Well, that's major Andrew Luck vibes there.
Yes.
That's why I said before this even started, it's one of two things I took out of this. He either doesn't want to play football anymore, mm-hmm. or he wants to try something new and go to a new location. And by the way, maybe that would have been the answer for Andrew Luck. Just going somewhere different.
Right.
Sometimes differences help, even if it's not the greatest difference in the world. Sometimes a change of scenery helps. Sometimes it's better that way. And so you're right. I'm not going to deny that. He did sound like a guy who could Andrew Luck all of us.
Right. And he's done well. He's made $170 plus million dollars already.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to do anything, he didn't have to do anything.
What I find fascinating is we had a hypothetical last week, but I think it's worth bringing up. You were very much out if the hypothetical came of Lamar Jackson being moved.
Yeah.
But you're very much in on Joe Burrow.
Correct.
Burrow's got the injury history, and Lamar has given no indication that, like, football's getting into him the way Burrow is. Why the in on Burrow but out on Lamar?
Two things. It's a great question. So two things. The way Lamar has played over the last few weeks, just his tentativeness, kind of scares me. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just not healthy or what's going on. And I do just fear later into his career, into his 30s, if he isn't able to have that incredible athleticism, what is he? Like, I think he's still good, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's that. I don't have that fear about Joe Burrow. I've seen no decline from Joe Burrow. I do worry about his health, of course, but that's the difference between the two.
Okay. When am I allowed to make this about the Giants?
How is it even close to being about the Giants?
What the hell does the Giants have to do with this? I don't even know this one.
I'm going to play the game. Evan, ask me what this has to do with the Giants.
Are you giving up on Jackson Dart already and you want Joe Burrow?
Evan, that would be a very inside-the-box thought. You have to think outside the box.
Zach Taylor is your next head coach.
If you're the Bengals, aren't you doing everything before trading Joe Burrow to make Joe Burrow happy and show him it's not the same old, same old? And doesn't that start with, all right, we're going to bring in a new culture, new coach, new everything? And wouldn't Zach Taylor be a fit as an offensive mind who has head coaching experience for the New York Football Giants?
I think that's already on the table. I don't think you needed this press conference.
He calls the plays.
Yep.
I think he's already on the hot seat. Don't you think that anyway?
They're 4-9? 4-10? Whatever they are. So they're not. It's an underachieving season.
Yeah.
Now, part of it's explainable because Joe Burrow was hurt for a lot of it. But it's not like he's been lighting the world on fire. So if Joe Burrow now then goes to ownership, because I'm sure he has a relationship given he's got a 200 and whatever million dollar contract, and says, yeah, I'm ready to move on from Zach, and that's either me got to go or he got to go, guess who's going?
It is December 11th at 4:11 p.m. We all took a listen to Joe Burrow sounding depressed.
We just emptied the Alonzo ones out. We're just filling up that toy chest again?
Long-term prediction. Where is Joe Burrow, or is Joe Burrow, playing football in 2026?
God, you know, it's so interesting. Every year we talk about these veterans that get moved. And this year it felt like, meaning this upcoming offseason, It's like, who are the Jets going to go after? There's no veteran. There's no, like, there's nobody that you want. The older guys are aging out. The middle-aged guys are not good enough. Like, who the hell are you even want? And then all of a sudden, Joe Burrow presents himself. Where is Joe? Is he with the Cincinnati Bengals?
I'm asking you.
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Burrow is with the Cincinnati.
So this is much to do about nothing. He'll still be with Cincinnati.
Yes. He's going to win two of the next three games or three of the next four, and then he's going to feel all right.
All right. Tommy Lugauer.
Joe Burrow will be the quarterback of the L.A. Rams.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I was just giving that a lot of thought. Like, wouldn't the irony of that? Like, Sean McVay always knows how to trade in his toy for a better toy. And obviously, that's also the team that Joe Burrow lost to in the Super Bowl.
And Burrow just feels like an L.A. guy to me.
That's a good one. Mm. I've got a better one, but that was a good one. Sean Morash.
Okay, so Tommy's thinking along the same lines as me. If you're the Bengals...
Don't steal my idea.
If you're the Bengals, you look at what the Lions did.
Okay.
Right?
Son of a bitch. He's going to take my idea, but you know what? Let it be you.
You're going to get a quarterback for quarterback swap because you feel like you've fallen short and you need the guy to get you over the hump. Sean Payton, Denver, Bo Nix traded.
Okay, I survived. It's a good idea.
That's even better.
Mine is going to kill you. Mine is going to crush you. So far, none of us have said the Jets as much as I fantasize about it. I kind of agree with Tommy that there's someone who's so smart like Sean McVay who could pull it off. Mm. I got someone smarter, and I also have a quarterback going back. Joe Burrow's going to be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
No chance that's happening.
I thought about that.
That's a good one.
Now, it's on the record. Just to be realistic, the Jalen Hurts dead cap number and the cap number he has will not work as a trade partner with Joe Burrow.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Howie Roseman is a freaking oracle.
I understand.
If anyone could perform magic to create cap stuff that doesn't exist.
No, they're already in hell.
With Philadelphia?
Yeah, they have so many void years on so many guys. It's bad.
All right. We'll see.
It's going to be hard for them to have the dead cap numbers or Burrow.
Fair enough. From. So that's our long-term prediction on Joe Burrow. Only Tiki has him remaining with the Bengals.
Yeah.
The three of us have him on different teams. None of us said retire because they did sound...
He's 29 years old.
So how old was he?
He did. He sounded like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
If you go back and remember when Andrew Luck was starting talking about this, he sounded exactly like this. Like, oh, I don't know, man. And this has been really hard. It's been depressing and maybe he didn't say depressing, but it's just hard. Physically, it's like a grind. And then he retired.
Yeah, well, the thing that Luck did that I know pissed a lot of people off, and look, you can retire whenever you want to retire, was the fact that it happened in the preseason, right before the season started. Right. And it felt like it just did the Colts dirty. When the reality is, if he decided to retire in August, that's okay. If Joe Burrow makes this decision in February, the Bengals can go pivot. I mean, they're going to have a top pick.
He just turned 29. He turned 29 yesterday.
I know. Oh, yesterday was his birthday?
Yesterday was Joe Burrow's birthday.
Maybe he was being reflective that he was about to enter the age of his final year of his 20s.
Yeah.
It's kind of a depressing moment.
It is. As if that, you never care what age you are.
After you turn 30?
I think, without for me, once I turned 30, 31 to 38 has felt like the same year to me.
I stopped caring about age after 21.
Mm. Evan.
As soon as I hit 21,
probably,
I was like, I do not care.
25. That's when you're fully legal with everything.
Gotcha.
Rent a car.
I was just saying, it's hard to think, Evan. Evan, once your parents tell you how you were conceived, I don't think you care about anything.
For those that are just tuning in, yes, earlier in the show, I revealed that my parents have described how I was conceived. And couch, snowstorm. Plans canceled. No. Boom, boom.
Go to the Odyssey app free. I've already podcasted that short clip for you. It's already public.
Why are you in such a rush to podcast that clip?
Evan, we've spent 2 days hammering the Mets. I found this to be the most interesting news of the last 72 hours.
So after 2 days of hammering the Mets, he wanted my dad hammering my... All right, anyhow. Let's go to Joe in Queens. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to start off by saying since 1988, I've had Jet season tickets. And they've had only two home playoff games. But the question I have for you is, the Mets and the Jets are about the same age, and it's, you know, and it's how long they've been around. How many times have the Jets made the playoffs, and how many times have the Mets made the playoffs?
Like, in their history, or since when, did you say?
In their history.
I mean, I have to sit here and add it up. I mean, I remember it off the top of my head, but I have to add it up. The point is, it's not a lot. And unfortunately, in the Jets' case, it hasn't happened in a decade and a half. Mm-hmm. But what's crazy, and maybe this is the point he was making, is starting in 1998, think about how good the Jets truly were. 1998, they're in the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 2001, they make the postseason, losing the first round to the Raiders.
Right.
In 2002, they win the division, right?
Yeah.
Win a playoff game at home. What a concept. And then again, lose to the Raiders. 2004, again, get to the AFC divisional round before losing to the Steelers. 2006, make the playoffs, the man genius right. here.
So they were good for a minute.
And then in 9 and 10, they get to the title game. So between 1998 and 2010, the Jets were damn good.
Yeah, they had a decade of maybes. Like, maybe this is the year.
Yeah.
Not, can we at least just get some stability? And since that point, it's been, can we get some stability?
Which is nuts. I think it's easy to forget how good the Jets truly were.
No, I even forget it. It just does. I don't remember it, even though the back-to-back AFC Championship games, obviously you do. But everything else around it, which was a lot. You don't remember.
Right.
Because they've been so bad for so long now.
And the Mets are different. Like, it comes in patches. Mm. That's the Mets. They're patches. So, 69-73, a patch. 86-88, it's a patch. Mm. 99-2000, a patch. Then there was that little, that pimple called 2006. Then we had another patch, 15-16. And then we recently had a patch, 22-24. And who knows what the future holds.
Right.
I mean, they may not see the playoffs for, I don't know. I'll tell you, I thought about this last night, T. Do you remember after they lost to L.A. 2 years ago, I said to you, I've learned my lesson. You never know when you're going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I got to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yes.
Tommy gave me a lecture. We have Steve Cohen. You know we're going to be back. And I was like, you never know. It's baseball. You don't know. I learned from the past. Here we are a year later. They collapsed. Didn't make the playoffs. They've watched Alonso and Diaz go. We have no idea what the rest of the offseason looks. Was I not very right about what I said during that NLCS?
No, you were. You never know when you're going to get back. And now you really don't know, especially with a roster that's not full yet, and you have no idea the direction that David Stearns is going into.
Evan, you were so right. And you're so right that the good vibes that were honored in the Pete Alonso video, did you happen to notice? Because you're not watching it?
I have not watched the video, no.
They very conveniently made sure to edit out any and all parts of Devin Williams' body on that Pete Alonso home run.
But the home run is in it.
The home run's in it.
That's fine.
The pitch is arriving. The pitcher is out. And him rounding the bases, the pitcher has disappeared.
That's fine. I don't care about that. Like, what would bother me is if they didn't include the moment. Like, erasing the moment would be an issue. But if they want to, like, not include the visual of Devin Williams, whatever.
Are we stupid? The guy threw the pitch. You could put him in there. He was in a Brewer uniform. What are we doing?
I haven't even seen the video. I just have a feeling you're being kind of picky right now.
I can't wait to see it now.
Evan, you're telling me they didn't purposely make sure you don't include Devin Williams? Come on, that's not a coincidence.
The moment isn't about Devin Williams or the Brewers. It's about Pete. So it's really about Pete hitting the ball, Pete's reaction, everyone else's reaction.
So the pitcher that throws the home run to make the Mets record can be included.
But Sean, as usual, stretching the truth here, because I'm watching the video. They don't edit Devin Williams out of it. They just show Pete from a side view hitting the home run, and then they show the video of Pete like, yeah, which is the image we always see. If you think about it, that highlight doesn't often show Devin Williams. So they didn't edit him out.
Yeah,
they just didn't show him.
Yeah, but don't for iconic baseball home runs, don't you see the pitcher?
Of course you do.
Evan's got to look at this.
You need to see the pitcher because it's the buildup to the moment.
I think, like, if I'm rewatching the clip, sure, I'm going to see the pitcher, but I think in a highlight video that you put together, it's
is
not
it
a
highlight
important.
Video?
Yes, but
I got to see it now. Now I need to judge for myself.
Everybody watch it. Look, you guys want to claim it's coincidence? That's fine.
I never used the C word. I never say coincidence. I just said it doesn't matter.
They also show a lot of Alonso home runs. None of the shots have the pitcher in it.
Yeah,
I see the pitcher in any one of these.
I think what you're doing is being very sensitive to that moment because Devin's on the Mets. You're right. Like, are we seeing every pitcher and every Alonso iconic home run?
No.
We probably aren't, like Tommy said. So
the ball is just there.
Yeah.
Even if they did edit him out, to your point, let's say you're right. I don't really care. Like, the point isn't to embarrass Devin Williams. It's about celebrating Pete Alonso.
Sure. You said yesterday that was his best moment as a Met.
Correct.
So you think just a quick side glimpse of the ball coming in and not the moment deserves to be there?
I just don't think it matters as much. Like, when I do my
recap. It's not that it matters. It's did the Mets consciously do it?
Yeah. And everybody knows that it was Devin Williams.
Right. And I'm telling you, even if they did consciously do it, I don't think it's a big deal because I don't think it takes away from the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They probably.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Tommy pulled all of the pitchers so that it didn't look awkward that they didn't have Devin Williams pitching to Pete.
That'd be very smart if they did that.
I promise you, you gotta cover your tracks. That's exactly what they did.
We are down to number 16 in the highly secretive committee's release of 25 and 25, the most memorable New York sports moments from the year that was. Every day, three have been unveiled. So far, number 25, Nimmo to the Rangers. Number 24, Pete Alonso becomes the all-time Mets home run king. Number 23, Clark Schmidt ruins Sean Morash's weekend when he gets pulled with a no-hitter. Number 22, Chris Kreider traded to Anaheim. Number 21, the Islanders win the lottery. Number 20, Woody Johnson drops some harsh words on Justin Fields. Number 19, the torpedo bats are all the rage. Number 18, Aaron Judge's epic home run against the Blue Jays in Game 3. And number 17, Eli Manning snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer. These are the most memorable moments from the year that was. Some have been good, some have been bad, but they have been memorable. Let us get to number 16.
Number 16. Aaron Rodgers unloads on Aaron Glenn on the Pat McAfee Show.
I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released. The messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly. Which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets and to hear your vision for the team.
I have to admit, this has been 8 months since this happened.
Yeah.
I think it was so refreshing that Aaron Rodgers told us just what happened.
Exactly what happened.
Exactly. Because we wouldn't have known.
I can see it happening like that.
Oh, 1,000%.
And it's interesting that he was candid about it and gave the insight. I don't know if I judged Aaron Glenn after that or felt sympathy for Aaron Rodgers, but it was interesting to hear the inside of how conversations like that happen.
As a fan of the Jets, I thought it was important to know, and my opinion at the time hasn't changed. I like Aaron Glenn. I'm glad they hired him. I agreed with the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I did not like how he handled the situation with Aaron Rodgers.
Glenn is a weird guy.
I would have been more open-minded. I wouldn't have flown him across the country to basically fire him.
Right.
I would have picked his brain. And so if what Rodgers told McAfee is true, and I have every reason to believe it is, I don't like, and I still don't like the way Glenn handled it.
I don't understand why they wouldn't just have told him and say, we'd love to have you come out and we can talk about this. You got to pick up your stuff. You have a house here, whatever.
But we're moving on.
If you want to come out, great. If not, it's fine.
I also think it shows,
like, what was the point of having the face-to-face meeting?
Because I need to take you back, though. Remember, when the Packers were done with him, they didn't meet with him face-to-face, and he complained about it. That was a big issue at the end of the Packer tenure. He got called out after this for the hypocrisy when he complained about it. He was not happy. Then the whole thing came up with his... Then he blamed it on phone service he had in his cave or whatever was going on. But he was not happy that the Packers didn't tell him face-to-face.
That's fair, and I remember that. But do you think that's why the Jets called him out? Do you think they cared about being criticized for phone reception? I don't think that's the reason they called him to fly out to Florham Park.
You think, oh, like the Jets didn't care about the Packers?
I don't think they cared about that story. Yeah. It's a good story. I don't think they cared about it.
I almost forgot about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just important in context. So you can't complain about one, but complain about the other.
What I don't like personally is I understand that Aaron Glenn made the decision he didn't want Aaron Rodgers back. I agreed with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of actually David Stearns. I'll bring it back to him. The first thing he did, he took over, and Buck Showalter was basically fired prior to David Stearns ever speaking to him.
Yeah.
And Buck has said this before. He's been open about it. Yeah, I never spoke to him. If you're David Stearns, aren't you open-minded enough to speak to Buck Showalter? Not that you're going to hire him.
Yeah.
Not that you're bringing Rodgers back. Can you have a conversation? Because maybe that conversation changes your preconceived notion.
Maybe, but the problem was it feels like Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji had an idea of what they wanted to do already. And that idea has not even been close to working out.
But you're right. You can have any idea you want.
Yeah.
Like, I have ideas, but I would still want to be open-minded enough mm-hmm. to at least have a discussion, especially with someone like Rodgers or Showalter that have accomplished enough in this sport.
Right, and if not, I think it's more respectful to just tell them on the phone and say, we'd love to have you come out.
Yeah.
But and have this conversation, but I'm telling you the decision now. I'm not dramatizing it and building it up, and you're going to fly all the way across the country having no clue and sit down in a meeting and 3 seconds in say, we're moving on.
I got to tell you, I think I disagree with the committee. We just spent a few minutes still debating this. It's been 8 months. It should be better than 16.
That's right.
Like, we're still arguing about it.
Right.
All right, that's number 16. Aaron Rodgers destroys Aaron Glenn on the Pat McAfee Show. Let's hear number 15.
Number 15. Jackson Dart makes his debut with a bang.
Gadabu the back. Dart, design run. Up the middle he goes to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Jackson Dart! Let a quarterback drop from 15 yards out in his first start. Gives the Giants the lead.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that was an impressive drive.
Impressive drive, impressive win. They were playing the Chargers that day.
The Giants did not, at that point, for years it felt like, score on opening drives. And he just went down and it looked easy.
I have to take the committee to task here.
What?
There was something else on that day that was very memorable. How come they're not paired together?
Why would it be paired together?
Because on that Sunday, the Mets also finished the regular season and finishing off their collapse. Wouldn't that be all? It literally happened at the exact same time.
I'm going to guess, and I don't know, but I'm going to guess the Mets' collapse is going to be much higher than 15.
I understand that, but am I on to something here? That Sunday being memorable day, Mets finish their season off with a collapse.
You know what? I'll answer it this way for you. As just a Met fan, because you're a giant Met fan.
Right,
as
for me, it's very memorable.
100%. As a Mets fan and someone who watches all the football, I have completely separated those two things. Like, you almost have to remind me that they're connected. Mm. So
I forgot that they were on the same day.
There you go. So Tiki's in my boat on this one.
I actually think this moment gets hurt.
Now, granted, I was at that game, and I was calling the game, so it was different.
And I was in my home more focused on the Mets than I was the Giants. Right.
Yeah, I wasn't just doing pre and post. I was actually on the game, so it was like a lot of work that day for me.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even paying it. I don't think the Mets were in my consciousness at all the whole day.
And honestly, the Giants weren't on my consciousness until hours later because then, I got to do my job. So I think for you, Tommy, I totally get it. I'm not disputing your emotions on it, but I do think for most they would be two separate moments. And I'm assuming that's how the committee's going to look at it, because the Mets collapse has to be top five.
Look, you know I've had my issues with the committee. I actually think Tommy brings up a good point here, because for me, you were focused on the Mets, you were at the Giants. I consumed both together, and it was a married day for me. Like, this is crazy. What the list, though, is the most memorable, right?
Yeah.
Dart, unfortunately, is probably a top five moment, if not for the Mets. So I think it hurts it. My only question would be, and we have a long way to go, I don't think we marry any moments, right? The committee can't marry moments.
No, you can't marry moments.
I wouldn't marry moments unless the moments are connected.
I don't think
these moments, to me at least, are connected.
Oh, I think they're connected.
I don't think that to your point, Sean, to respond to your point, that Dart moment is not a top five moment unless the team turns into a potential playoff contender.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they've sucked since and they've lost so many close games, it's a great moment because it's the arrival of Jackson Dart.
Can we get somebody from the committee on the phone? Right. Because is it about what happened after or in the moment?
I don't know who's on the committee. I just get an email to me.
But it's like if the Giants, Russell Wilson starting quarterback, whatever, it sucks. It is what it is. Dave makes a change. They win that first game against the Chargers. Jackson Dart has this ridiculous opening drive and scores on a 15-yard designed run up the middle. And then 10 weeks later, they're a game away from making the playoffs.
It enhances it.
Right,
yeah.
They're like 8-9 and whatever the record would be, you flipped around 9-4, 9-5, whatever it is. Then we'd be saying, you know what? That Jackson Dart moment, we knew. We knew from that moment.
I agree. I think what happens next certainly adds to it.
Yes.
Anyhow, that's number 15. Number 14.
Number 14. Pete Alonso returns to the Mets after a long standoff.
Jeff Passan breaking the news. Slugger Pete Alonso and the New York Mets are in agreement on a free agent deal. Alonso's deal is for 2 years and $54 million per. Mark Feinstein with an opt-out after this 2025 season per source. Now, he'll also get a $10 million signing bonus and a $20 million salary for 2025 with $24 million player option for 2026.
Oh, the irony.
Committee's the best.
I understand that Alonso returning to the Mets after a long standoff happened in 2025 and has to be at one of the most memorable moments, but the timing is impeccable.
Wow.
I mean, wow. It's
a good thing it wasn't yesterday.
I think it's worse than it's today.
Right.
I was moving on today. I was advancing in my life today.
Now you get to remember the fact that he was here and he stayed and you thought he was going to be a Met for life.
You know, I didn't. That's the funny part. When Pete re-signed last year, I was excited. I was pumped up about the year. And I remember saying on the Rico, and I certainly said it here, they're probably not getting married long term. Let's all just be honest about this. Let's be open-minded that this is a one-year settlement.
Right.
And that next year he's probably gone. So I think what helped with yesterday, because as some have noticed, and I even admitted to you, I was angrier on Tuesday with Diaz leaving than even Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of that is we all kind of knew this was coming. Like, it felt inevitable for a year and a half.
Right.
The Diaz thing was a shock. Him going to the Dodgers was like, what? Especially for that contract. So even when Pete did re-sign in that memorable moment from back in February now, I think we all kind of knew, like, is he really going to be here for a long time? We hoped it was just going to be enough for them to win. Go win a championship and it doesn't matter. And obviously that was not the case. So those are your unveilings today, 16 through 14. Rodgers destroys Aaron Glenn on McAfee. Jackson Dart makes his debut with a bang. And Pete Alonso returns to the Mets after a long standoff.
So I think we've already clinched that Pete Alonso signing somewhere will be back-to-back years in the top 25.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure this out yesterday. The ruling is nothing from this year can be on this year's list after this began on Monday. So Diaz leaving and Alonso leaving aren't going to be on this list. It's over, but they do qualify for next year.
Yes. It's like the Grammys. If a hit single comes out now, it's on next year's Grammys.
But do you think, because there's so much...
They might get lumped.
What would be lumped? Oh, Diaz and Alonso?
Yeah, they might get lumped together.
That could get lumped.
Actually, that makes it more memorable.
I agree.
Back-to-back days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think any Met fan will ever forget that it was back-to-back days.
Yes.
Like the fact that it was one after another?
Right.
Crazy. Now let's get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019, the number. Chris is in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're good.
Good.
A couple of things. First of all, Steve Summers' book is a must-read. It's a great book. I had no idea he did so much early on before he came to New York.
100%. I advise anybody, if you haven't yet on Amazon, Steve Summers' brand-new book. It is out. He's doing book signings. It is fan-freaking-tastic. And I can't wait. I've told him, I said, he's got to do an audiobook. Mm. Can you imagine Steve reading that book? We need it. America needs it. So congrats to Steve. It's an awesome book, and I hope everybody buys it.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great read, very entertaining. But, Evan, I got to say, that proposed trade with the Dodgers, man, how do you think the Dodgers are going to give up all that for Lindor? That makes no sense.
Well, you're wrong about that. I mean, all that. They're giving up an outfielder they benched in the World Series and a pitcher they're openly trying to move and a 35-year-old on his last leg. It's not like Zaga was asking for the moon here.
Freddie Freeman's the heart of that team. I mean, they're gonna give you three guys for Lindor. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Well, look, I don't know if any of it's going to happen. When we talked at the beginning of the show, we talked about how, as Met fans, we need to be open to trading Lindor. Not that I'm trying to trade him. Not that I want to trade him. But that we are in such a period of time now with this Mets, with the wrecking ball that's been placed by David Stearns, that everything's got to be on the table.
Yeah, you're focused on what's going to happen next as opposed to dwelling on the Pete Alonso, Edwin Diaz stuff. And so what possibly could they do? And with the clear reshaping of the clubhouse, and we've heard these stories over the last couple of days about there being an issue, put that in quotes, in the clubhouse, you would think that moving other guys, whether that's Jeff McNeil, which is he's unmovable, which we talked about earlier, or Francisco Lindor, has to be on the table.
I think you got to listen.
Just speculating, if you're going to move Lindor, what's it going to take?
Well, and that's the thing. And also, what would be the package? What would be the kind of package other teams would make? Like, I am not trading Lindor for prospects. That does not interest me. I'm also not going to fantasize about a trade that makes absolutely no sense. Like, I'll trade Lindor for Judge, like Tommy suggested. Yeah. Like, obviously, that's not going to happen. So you got a big market team in Los Angeles. Mookie Betts is not the shortstop. He's playing shortstop, but it'd be much easier for him to move back to the outfield. And so the Dodgers, I hate to say it, they're a fit for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of use your noggin to try to figure out things that make sense. But again, I think the Mets just have to be open-minded on everything at this point. Let's go to Joe in East Islip. Hey, Joe.
Hey, appreciate you guys taking the call. And always enjoy the show. Yeah, I'm like most Mets fans, all Mets fans, I guess, frustrated and upset about Alonso. But I'm not as frustrated as I was last season when they could not get a hit in a big situation. Mm-hmm. We know about the 0-70 in the late innings. So everybody's screaming about how do we replace the power, the homers, the ribbies. My answer is you can't. Forget about that. But you don't need to. And it'll take a mindset adjustment, but there's a free agent out there who hits 300 consistently, 170 to 200 hits a year, and will give you 60 to 80 RBIs, and that's Luis Arias. You know, okay, he's a lefty bat. You want a righty bat, but a 300 hitter is going to hit any kind of...
No. And I wouldn't even be overly concerned about the lefty-righty stuff. They need multiple bats. So while they are going to need right-handed bats, you can add a lefty. Here's the issues with Arias and how I think he could fit. He's not a good defender. Let's just be honest about this. He does not defend at any kind of high level. And clearly they are moving away from that. So I think if you sign Luis Arias, his role here would be designated hitter and part-time first baseman. Is there a spot for that? Sure. They don't have a DH. Yeah. They don't have a first baseman.
He also doesn't have a lot of power.
He does one thing well, Tiki.
Yeah.
He hits for an incredibly high average. Two things well. Let me rephrase that. He is for an incredibly high average, and he never strikes out.
Yes.
And that is a great attribute to have, but he hits for zero power. He has zero speed, and he's not a good defender.
Right. Doesn't sound like a good baseball player.
But by the way,
he is a good baseball player.
Considering what the Mets have right now and the multiple bats they need to add, they got room for him.
Mm-hmm.
Could they use him at DH/first base, platooning with Mark Vientos? Sure. But I still think they're going to put more of a premium on guys that defend. The guy to take a look at, who I almost, and I got no sources on this, nor has there been any reporting about this. It's just, I'm again, going to use my noggin, is Akimoto. Akimoto is a right-handed hitter who plays third base and first base. He's a plus defender, and he's put up massive numbers in Japan, and he's 28 years old. That feels like a good fit. And I don't know how Met fans are going to feel about that because it's just a guy from Japan. He could be great.
We've heard nothing on him.
Well, he's been posted too, so there's a clock on him.
I know, but we've heard nothing.
Yeah, we haven't really. It almost feels like there's waiting until the clock gets down to the last couple of weeks or something. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. Hey, Gabe.
What up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you.
I think that as a New York baseball fan, I think it's really unfair for us to be so harsh and critical of the owners of the two teams right now for being, you know, quote unquote cheap. I mean, every day I listen to WFAN, I have to hear Tiki Barber on the commercials talking about how electric prices have gone up 20% in the state of New Jersey. You think New York is immune from that? You think New York City is getting a break? Right. Like, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Edwin Diaz isn't on the Mets because that light show, that all costs money. That all costs a lot of money, right? So
that's
so
very look, true.
All kidding aside on that, right? You guys were talking earlier about like how you know, David Stearns is looking at free agents. He's not willing to throw crazy amounts of money unless it's the right free agent, right? The absolute
gotta be young, gotta be almost guaranteed to be successful.
I totally get that, right? I look at the situation that the Mets are going through very similarly in the situation that the Yankees go through. The Yankees do pretty much the same thing. If you look at the Yankees lineup, if the season started today, they've only got one guy on the team on that in that lineup anyway that was signed as a free agent. It's Aaron Judge. Yeah. He's the only one. Like, everyone else was a trade or, you know, homegrown. So they're not going the way of free agents anymore unless it's for that absolute right guy. The problem is that if they think that this free agent class is a little bit soft and a little bit weak, look at 2026 and 2027.
Yeah.
Unless Ronald Acuna Jr. opts, or, you know, the Braves do the club option. They don't elect the club option on Ronald Acuna Jr., which would be the stupidest thing imaginable. You got really soft free agent classes coming up the next 2 years.
No, you're right.
So at some point, something's got to give. So whether it's like, you know, some sort of like all-star trade, which I don't think is going to happen for the Mets or the Yankees, to be completely frank, you got to sign guys that are going to make your team better. And it's getting me through free agency.
But the problem is, and you hit on it, the free agents are good players. Mm-hmm. They're not great players. Yeah. And in free agency, you tend to overpay. Yeah. And
especially if you do it early.
And you don't want to overpay for good players. Yeah. You want to overpay for great players.
Right. We know what this looks like because we've seen it multiple years over the last four or five, where even the top free agents, if there's not a consensus amongst general managers or presidents of baseball operations that they're no doubters, they wait. They make them wait. And then eventually they end up signing essentially a team-friendly deal. Now they get opt-out, so they're basically in a contract year again, but we know what the formula looks like now from Major League Baseball standpoint.
And this is why, and I don't know if this is going to happen. Again, I'm just giving advice, and maybe I'll be dead wrong. Kyle Tucker should sign a short-term deal. He should sign a short-term deal because it doesn't feel like the market's bubbling for him. He's coming off a year in which he missed a bunch of time. He hurt his value.
Right.
Like, he's just not, he doesn't have the same value today. And you could hear it on the radio station. You could hear it from Sean from BT earlier, the way you guys talked about Tucker a year ago compared to now. It's different. And I don't think you guys are alone. I think you're the bellwethers. I think that's the way GMs also view him. Like, right. He's good, but he isn't the guy from a year ago. So this would work out on two accounts. Kyle Tucker is better off signing a similar contract to what Pete Alonso signed last year. A three-year contract with an opt-out after one, making $40 million a year. Actually, the Alex Bregman deal, more than even the Pete Alonso deal. And then have a monster year. He's still going to be young. Get back into free agency, and then maybe you get your 10-year contract. Because we've talked about Tucker for the Yankees and the Mets, and we both assume, like, well, they're not going to give him 10 years. And I start to think to myself, well, is anyone going to give him 10 years?
No.
Is Tucker better off resetting his own market? And if that's the case, he becomes very intriguing to the Mets and the Yankees. Because I think both of us would say, well, okay, short-term deal,
yep.
Contract year, chance to have a big year like Cody Bellinger had for the Yankees last year, like Pete had for the Mets this year, let's go. But there's no indication that's going to happen. That's just me giving advice.
The problem is there's no indication Kyle Tucker's going anywhere.
Yeah.
The only team I've heard connected is Toronto. Is that it? Is it a one-team race?
I mean, he was in Dunedin like 2 weeks ago now. Nothing. Yeah,
I understand, but maybe it's because Tucker's trying to get other teams involved in the race. But we haven't heard anybody else. Like a little bit of the Dodgers early on, a little bit. They're always, as you always say, Tiki, they're always a looming threat.
Right.
But are they a looming threat on a 10-year contract? Probably not. So if they can get it out of Toronto, then sure, Kyle Tucker will end up with the Blue Jays. But if there isn't an emerging market and he does decide, hey, let's do that short-term deal, that's where I think Met fans and Yankee fans would be all over the player.
Do you think Bellinger and Tucker are waiting for each other to sign first so they could top the other?
No, because it feels like there's a market for Bellinger. It feels like because it's like the house that doesn't cost that much, there's more bidding for the cheaper house than the beautiful mansion.
Right. Do those exist anymore?
No, not really.
No.
Kyle Tucker is the mansion no one wants to bid on because he's too expensive.
Yeah.
Cody Bellinger's like the really nice loft that everyone's like, oh, I'm interested. And who knows where that bidding goes. But who knows? Who knows where we'll all go? By the way, do you want to hear the geekiest thing I've ever done? And I just did it last night.
What's that?
Sports Reference is the website that has Baseball Reference, Basketball Reference, Pro Football Reference.
Yes.
So they've been releasing the most searched people or the most searched teams or the most searched sports. So I saw for Baseball Reference the most searched player by state. Okay. So I saw the list of states that mostly searched Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. And the states that mostly search Shohei Ohtani. They won every state but three. Bobby Witt Jr. won a state, Kansas. Cal Raleigh won a state, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one, and I don't remember who it was. It was like a third player. I can't even tell you. But Ohtani and Judge won every other state. So I want to ask you, you know me, you know what kind of geek I am. What did I do with that information that's halfway interesting and completely geeky? Go ahead.
What did you do with that info?
The information on the
most states, other than a couple, cared about Shohei Ohtani and
Aaron Judge. What did I do with the information?
You went and looked up. Yeah.
I did what?
You even put out a poll?
Did not put out a poll. Go ahead.
You went and looked up the top players in every sport you've ever researched.
Nope. Good guess. Tommy, you know me very well.
I don't know. Okay. I'm actually, because I want to challenge you on something you said that I think is inaccurate.
Is it related to what
yes,
I just said?
Absolutely. Not just what you said, but two things before.
Well, can I finish this?
You can.
Or is it going to go backwards?
Well, it's going to go backwards, but you said something.
Can I just finish this?
You can finish this, okay. But you said something that was inaccurate that we have to call you on.
Okay, that's cool. I put it into the electoral map.
Oh, God.
I'm a loser. And I said, if based on searches you were voting for Ohtani versus Judge, what would the electoral map look like?
Nerd alert!
And so the final results are Aaron Judge wins 373 electoral votes. 270 is what gets you to presidency. 137 for Ohtani.
Oh, Judge destroyed him.
Now, I'm a loser.
Ohtani carried Texas and California, which make up 94 electoral votes, but the rest of Ohtani's states were Nevada and Oregon and Idaho New Mexico. Aaron Judge took the entire East Coast and even took the Deep South and the Midwest.
Nerd alert!
Wow. He Ronald Reagan'd Ohtani's ass.
He didn't drop the ball on it.
Call Ohtani Walter Mondale. So, yes, that's the geekiest thing. You think it's the geekiest thing I've ever done?
Nice self-troll there, Sean.
Thank you.
I'm a loser.
That is very geeky.
Thank you. Now, what did I say?
I didn't even think about that.
Thank you.
So, Evan said Bobby Witt Jr. won Kansas.
He won Kansas, correct.
He did?
Yes.
Why would he win Kansas? Kansas City's in Missouri.
I know.
Kansas.
I thought
Kansas City was in
Kansas. Kansas City's in Missouri, but keep this in
Kansas
mind.
Kansas City's in both, isn't it?
Just two Kansas.
There is two Kansas. Yeah, technically they're in
what?
Both.
Yes. Where do the Chiefs play? Missouri or
Missouri.
Kansas?
Okay.
Missouri. But there's two Kansas cities.
The city you think of is Missouri, but Tiki is right. There is a Kansas City, Kansas.
State.
I'm sorry.
State.
No, the Kansas City is a city.
Yeah.
The Kansas City he thinks of is in Missouri.
Yes, right.
But Kansas City is in both. But just to answer how that happened, Missouri is a swing state in that it also has St. Louis. And so the Cardinal fan may not be searching Bobby Witt Jr. In fact, they were clearly searching Aaron Judge.
Ah, that makes sense.
So I wasn't factually wrong. I have the map in front of me. Again, by the way, here are the states. There were three states that didn't go for Judge or Ohtani. Kansas,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin. I don't even know who they went with.
Wisconsin?
Oh, I do remember. Wisconsin went with Christian Yelich.
What? Why?
Because he plays for the Brewers.
Oh, duh.
So they searched them a lot.
It's funny. When I hear Yelich, I think Kansas City.
No.
I think Royals.
And then Cal Raleigh took Washington. So, no, but it's good that you now know Kansas City is in both cities. But the one you think of is in Missouri. In fact, the Chiefs play in Missouri. The Royals play in Missouri. There's been talk of building a new Chiefs stadium in Kansas. There has been. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
So, are you feeling okay back there, Tommy?
Are they close? I thought Kansas was like
it's on the border.
It's on the border. Kansas City, Missouri, you could throw a rock and hit the state of Kansas.
It's probably a river. It's probably one of those things. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the geography of it. There's probably a river that went literally right through the town.
It is weird, though, that there is a city named in both. Uh-huh. But the one you think of, the one we all think of, the one with the Royals and the Chiefs, is the state of Missouri. Anyhow, what was the other incorrect thing that really wasn't incorrect, clearly?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it?
That was it.
That was what you were going to halt everything for? That was your idea? You need to go to Knights quick. I mean, jeez.
You didn't think the same thing? You don't think that Evan, the way he is, would think that Kansas City is in Kansas, and he doesn't know what Missouri looks like on the map?
I'm actually decent at geography.
You are great at geography,
There's another city, though, that also...
That's in two states?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of Washington, D.C.?
No, it's not even a state.
You're an idiot.
It's not even a state.
A city that's in two states?
Yeah.
I got to think about that one. Yeah, I don't
know. It's like Kentucky. Wait, why am I forgetting?
Are you thinking of Springfield?
No, Springfield's everywhere.
Those are different Springfields.
Middletown is everywhere.
Right.
I'll think of it in a second.
Right,
but
enough.
I know there is another one.
No, and I'll tell you a weird talent I have, Tommy, just to prove my geography knowledge. I know all the presidents. I also know all the state capitals.
Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Florida.
Tallahassee.
Connecticut.
Hartford.
California.
Sacramento.
North Dakota.
Bismarck.
South Dakota.
Pierre.
Texas.
Wait, did I reverse that? No, I'm right. I'm good. Bismarck, Pierre. Go ahead.
Texas.
Austin.
Maine.
Augusta. How long are we going to do this?
Well, I'll run out. I'm an idiot. I'll run out of states that I know.
Out of states that he knows.
Exactly. I ran out already.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.